Well, good afternoon, Central Texas. This is Tom McNew, and coming to you in the hallowed halls of the Cove House. I'm sitting here with Mr. Brian Hawkins, the executive director for Cove House. We're going to talk a little bit about his role, the mission and goals of the Cove House itself here, and introduce all of you to what this facility brings to specifically Copper's Cove, but then the greater Central Texas area itself. So, Mr. Brian Hawkins, welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate you having me on the show today and just giving us an opportunity to get some awareness and highlight what we're doing here. I've been the executive director here just a little over 8 years.
Okay.
And we've made some great progress in that time. And I'll be happy to tell you everything we do here on site and go over our free clinic with you and then what some of our future plans are. So just tell me where you want me to start.
Well, give our listeners a proper introduction to Brian Hawkins, a little bit about your background.
Okay. Well, like I said, I've been the executive director here for a little over 8 years. August was my 8-year anniversary. I am a licensed minister. I was in ministry for 30 years prior to being here full time. And even when I started here, I was a part time minister here in town.
Okay.
I have a lovely wife. We just celebrated 27 years married.
Congratulations.
And I have 4 children, 1 son in law. I'm about to have a daughter in law in November, and then 1 grandchild.
Awesome.
I've been in Copper's Cove for 22 years. We've been plugged into the city ever since we got here. All my kids went to school here and grew up here. My wife works at Scott & White here in town, and I've been part of the Exchange Club, Lions Club, Football Boosters Club. I was the president of the Volleyball Boosters Club for about 5 years, so I just love Copper's Cove and love what we do here.
Right. So you got some deep, deep, deep roots here in town.
As deep as you can get them in 22
pretty
years.
Pretty much. So let's talk a little bit about Cove House and kind of give an overview to some of our listeners that may not be familiar with what the organization provides for the community.
Sure. And I'll start off by telling you kind of what our setup here is for.
Okay.
And then I can tell you a little bit more about our program that we run here, and then we'll get into what we do at the free clinic.
Awesome.
So here on site, you'll notice we have 4 small houses. There's a men's house, a women's house, and then there's 2 family houses. They're all 2-bedroom, 1-bath houses. We can house 6 men, 6 women, and then 2 families. Those are always configured in different shapes and forms. So what we provide for them here on site is basically everything that they could need. We want them to be employed, but we want them to save the money that they're making because we want them to move into permanent housing. We want this to be their last stop before they're in permanent housing. We don't want to just be one of the programs that they attend, mm-hmm. you know, in a string of programs that they're part of. Yeah. So we provide linens, we provide food, we provide laundry detergent, we provide laundry facilities, toiletries, really everything that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And we always encourage them, before you go buy anything, ask us for it. Because our donors donate all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
Anything from hair products, hair dryers, curlers, to beard trimmers and mm-hmm. toothbrushes, you name it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we always tell them, hey, before you go spend money, just ask us. If we have it, we're going to freely give it to you, and that's money that you can save. Because our goal for them here is to save money and then be prepared to move out on their own. So that's basically the gist of the nuts and bolts of what we do here. Now, a question that I get asked all the time is, how long can somebody stay at the Cove House?
Yeah.
Well, that all depends on the person, because our intention is to partner with them until they move into permanent housing. But they have to do their part.
Yeah.
Number one, they have to follow the rules. And there's a long list of rules we have here. I won't go over them on the air, but they have to follow the rules. They have to maintain gainful employment.
Okay.
Then they have to save their money. They have to meet their savings, milestones, and goals.
Mm-hmm.
We meet with them every couple of weeks. They have to verify their income, their schedule, and their savings. And if they're not doing what they need to move forward, there's a warning process they go through, but then they'll have to be moved out of the program.
Yeah.
We tell everybody we're a launch pad, not a crash pad.
I like that. I love that tagline. That's a great, great mentality. When you say you talk about their employment, do you provide assistance for them to get employment, some job hunting skills and things like that?
We do. We provide a job list for them. Some of our people have prior criminal histories that they're having to deal with. We have what we refer to as a felon-friendly hiring list, places they can go for that. But we also have opportunity to do interview classes with them. We'll help them write their resume if they need help with that. And so we do what we can to support them doing that. But we do require them, until they're employed, they have to apply for 3 jobs a day.
Okay.
And once they're employed, they have to work towards employment that they can live on.
Yeah.
So they can't just say, well, you know, I'm working at this store 10 hours a week. Well, you can't live on that unless they're paying you $50 an hour. Which is usually not the case. It's never the case. So we work towards them. Sometimes they need a couple of jobs. But we work with them to get that done, and then we want them to maintain that. Because the whole goal is for them to move to permanent housing. So they can stay here as long as they're following the rules, as long as they're staying gainfully employed, and they're meeting their savings goals. We've partnered with people up to a year.
Wow.
We used to have a transitional housing program. We're in the process of building another one, and I'll tell you more about that later.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to finish up what we do here on site first. So the program we want run, we call the Firm Foundation Program.
Okay.
We want to give them a firm foundation spiritually, financially, and physically. It's part of why we started the free clinic. Because if you can't stay healthy, you can't go to work. And if you're not working, you can't afford to go to the doctor.
Right.
So they're in a catch-22. We try to resolve with that. But the plan is for them to get the skills, get the opportunity, and the savings to move out on their own. Once we have the transitional housing program built, that will be an opportunity where they can move and be for up to 2 years. Again, they're going to have to follow the rules, meet the milestones. Mm-hmm. Now, that is a program that they will pay a participation fee to be part of.
Okay.
Because it's to graduate them towards what it costs to live on your own.
Right.
So they'll have to stay employed. They'll pay a fee to be part of that. That fee will include an individual place for them to live, not congregant housing like they have here. And it'll also include their utilities.
Okay.
So, and it will be extremely reasonable. We haven't nailed down what that's going to be yet, or I would tell you.
Yeah.
We've kind of got to do some estimating on what the electric and water and insurance and those kinds of things are going to cost us. It's not a program we can lose money on.
Yeah.
It's a program that's designed to be financially pretty self-sufficient, but also teaching them the skills and the requirements of paying as you go when you live in your own place.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you more about building that here in a little while. We don't have that available right now. So what we're doing now is just housing them in place longer.
Okay.
So like I said, we've had some people that have been up here up to a year. The problem that presents for us is we can't help as many people.
Sure.
But we're helping them better. Mm-hmm. If somebody leaves here and they can move into permanent housing and they don't need these resources anymore, we feel like that's a better option than helping more people for a shorter period of time when all we're doing is moving them to some other program.
Right, right.
Do you have any questions about how we do that or what we're doing?
Yeah, so during that time that they're here and in whatever capacity, what kind of educational opportunities do you provide or helping them gain? I'm sure that you get some folks that, you know, are struggling to get a GED or maybe haven't even finished high school. And
right. So in those situations, we actually have a donor that will pay for their GED classes.
Okay.
And then we coordinate with CTC to make that opportunity available for them.
Wonderful.
We provide bus tokens for them to get out there and get back. We also provide bus tokens for people doing their job search.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they've found a place, we can provide bus passes for them. We can't do that just to go to the store and just because you feel like going down to the mini mart. We don't have the money for that. But as far as supporting them in their job search, we help them with that.
Yeah.
So there's a couple avenues for that. There's also a program that Dollar General does. If they get hired at Dollar General, Dollar General will pay for their GED.
Oh, wow.
So anybody that doesn't have that, we encourage them, if we can't get them in the program here, to try to get employment there because they have a program for that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did not know that.
Yeah. Beyond that, if they need, like I said, help writing the resume, we'll do that. We've got some business people that will sit down with anybody that wants to do interview prep.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the jobs that our people are applying for and in the current job market, it's a little easier for them to get employed. Mm-hmm. They're not doing, you know, the harder level interviews. But as they get employed and they want to move up, we can help them get that training.
Yeah.
And we can set them down and do some one-on-one interviews with them so that they know what to expect walking in somewhere.
Sure, sure, sure. Great. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So you got four houses, men's house, women's house, and two family houses.
Two family houses, that's
right. Yeah, that's great. So are you full right now, or is it just
kind of ebb and
flow? We're
currently mostly full.
Okay.
One of the family houses we just had somebody move out of, so we've got to go through the process of readying that. But
sure.
It won't be long before that's full again. This time of year, we'll fill up and we'll stay full. When it's super hot or super cold,
yep.
We're always full. And if anybody has moved out of the program for whatever reason, there's usually somebody right behind them to fill it in.
Okay.
Word is kind of out about the availability of the services we provide here.
Sure.
And so people who are really trying, try to get here.
Yeah.
It's a good place for them. One of the services we provide that's a benefit to people who are trying to do better is they don't have to get their bed every night.
Mm.
So as long as they don't do anything to lose their bed's going to be here.
Right.
We also provide a locker for them and a lock so that they can secure most of their belongings. So if they own a laptop or a radio or they have medications, they have a place to secure that. But the great thing is if they're working, they don't have to worry about getting back here at a certain time to make sure they have a bed for that night.
Yeah.
As long as they haven't violated the rules or any of those policies, they don't have to worry about that. So that gives them peace of mind that if they end up having to work till 10 or 11 o'clock, all they got to do is call us, check in when they get here, and then they're fine. So they don't have to leave work or risk their job to get back here for a particular check-in time or to make sure they have a bed.
So there is some expectation that there's at least a daily communication between your residents and your staff here.
They have to check in every night. Now, we do that by camera, so I don't have staff here in the evenings.
Okay.
But they do have to get in front of the camera and check in. We do accommodate, if they're working late, they can check in later than regular check-in time, but they have to verify through their schedule that they were working late.
Yeah.
They can't get off at 8, tell us they got off at midnight and roll in here at 2.
Right.
Because we're going to verify that.
Exactly. 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 So what is what's a process that someone has to go through to enter into the program and use the facilities?
Okay. So the first thing they need to do is either call or come by. We schedule our intakes because it is a process.
Sure.
We need them to have we usually try to get them to have two forms of ID because they need to be able to go to work.
Yep.
And if you don't have any ID, that's hard to do. And in the homeless industry, that's kind of a tough nut to crack. We've had some people that we just couldn't figure out how to get their IDs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for us to get started with them because they can't work a legitimate job without it. But we also need to know who we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
The very first thing we do with everybody that gets here is we send them down to the PD to do a wants and warrants check to see if they're actively wanted anywhere.
Yep.
And if they are, then we don't house them here. And it doesn't matter what they're wanted for or where they're wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be able to move forward until they get that taken
care of.
That's right. So we offer them the opportunity to go back to wherever that was and deal with it. And we'll pay for their bus ticket to get back there and deal with
wow.
it. Because I'll tell them, you know, if you got a speeding ticket you didn't pay, if you'll just show up and sit it out for 3 or 4 days, you'll be done with that.
Yep.
Or most of the time, if you'll just call them, they'll set up a payment plan.
Sure.
And they'll lift that warrant as long as you are making your payments
making your
on
payments,
time.
Yeah.
But they've got to take the steps to get the warrant lifted before we can have
assume some responsibility for their own actions.
Because they won't be able to move forward till they do that.
Exactly.
And it's a slightly unknown fact that shelters can be a place for people in flight to try to hide.
Mm.
If you have a shelter that doesn't require ID, you can be on flight from in flight from the law and then just find a place to kind of disappear for a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's why we do that. The next step is to go through the intake process. That's where we go over all the rules, all the expectations. They sign documentation that they agree that they understand that, and they understand and agree to the expectations that we're going to have for the duration of their stay here.
Okay.
Then at that time, we give them their, we call them their stage one requirements. They have to apply to all the job boards, the TWC and some of the other local job boards here.
Yeah.
If they're eligible for benefits, they have to apply for those other benefits so that they're getting as much support as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Then we start working on them getting a job, going to work and saving their money.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you have a bilingual capability for Spanish speaking folks?
We don't.
Yeah.
We're working on that. Most of the people that have come here, we've only had two in the 8 years I've been here that,
okay,
at least as far as we know, couldn't speak English.
English. Okay.
And we only know what they tell us. But,
yep, sure.
So we try to make accommodations. We've got a lady that does translations for us at our clinic. So we contact her to see if she can just give them the basic information. Mm-hmm. We try to use the Google Translator, you know, for just the basic information. You got to follow these rules.
Yep.
You know, that kind of stuff. But it hasn't been a great enough need to try to facilitate funding a full-time bilingual person.
It's interesting.
We would do that down the road.
Yeah.
We're not opposed to having somebody that's bilingual when we have positions open, but we have not, you know, focused on that.
Sure.
Because it hasn't been a
Big need.
It hasn't been a necessary requirement.
Yeah. That makes sense. So let's talk a little bit about the clinic that's downtown.
Okay. So our free clinic is available to anyone who doesn't have insurance. And we made that requirement because when we first opened, we realized we had a lot of people that had insurance that were just coming to us to avoid their copays. And so they were taking up resources for people that didn't have any means to get to the doctor. So that's basically our only requirement. We don't have geographic or financial requirements. We can see people for general practice ailments. We can see them for specialty items. We have a cardiologist that comes down a couple times a month. We do women's health every week,
mm-hmm.
so we can do pap smears and that kind of stuff. We can refer them over to Advent for blood work, x-rays, mammograms. Okay. Advent picks up the tab for all of that and just sends the information back to us so our doctors can provide that care for them. Now, currently, we're only open on Tuesday nights. We're working on the funding to hire the staff we would need to be there more hours. We're currently at 100, we're 100% volunteer down there.
Okay.
So everybody comes after work.
Yeah.
We do have somebody that would be willing to come on at a very reasonable rate to be our clinic director. She's actually currently our director, but she could come more hours to facilitate more people. We just need funding for that.
Mm-hmm.
So we do it by appointment only. People will remember a couple of years ago, if you drove by the clinic on Tuesdays, there'd be a line out there,
mm-hmm.
sometimes for hours.
Mm-hmm.
We had some logistical issues with that. Sometimes people were sicker by the time we got to them than they were when they got there, depending on the weather. But we also had a situation where the same 10 or 12 people would show up because they weren't working.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of people that needed our help that we just couldn't get to. So we went to appointment only. And that's actually made it much better because we know how many providers to have there.
Yeah.
We know how many people we can see based on the number of providers we're going to have. We can kind of help spread out the resource and triage over the phone so we know who really needs to see us and who doesn't. Yeah.
Prioritize some of your resources.
Right, prioritize the resource. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, that's good. So the clinic is open. Tell me again the hours.
It's on Tuesday evenings. We start at 5 o'clock. We're usually done by 8.
Okay, so 3 hours.
It's all by appointment only. So they can call the clinic, but we would prefer that they email us, and it's clinicappointments@covehouse.org.
Okay.
Then we just need their name, their ailment, their age, and their medication list.
Okay. That's good.
And then we'll email them back and get it lined up.
And then you mentioned Advent. Do you have a relationship with any of the other hospitals in the area, or is it just Advent?
Well, our primary relationship is with Advent Health.
Okay.
They provide the building, and they also provide, like I said, x-rays, the labs, and the blood work, and mammograms.
Yeah.
We do have a program that we work with Scott and White sometimes for people that need surgeries. They have a charitable program that people can apply to.
I see.
But it's not as a direct of a relationship. Our best direct relationship is with Advent Health Central Texas.
Okay.
They've been great supporters. Quite frankly, we wouldn't have the clinic at all without mm-hmm. them.
Yeah. So how do you handle a situation where somebody makes an appointment, walks in, then you find out that they're a veteran, they've got VA insurance or TRICARE or whatever, another kind of insurance?
Then we just tell them to use their insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of times where we'll see them that night while they're there,
mm-hmm.
But then we'll just tell them they need to use the available resources that they already have, because these resources the resources we have are for people that don't have other resources.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a kind of gentle process, but we just tell them you need to use
You're not just going to flat out turn them away.
Not that night.
Yeah, Right.
But we won't make appointments for them in the future, yeah. knowing that they have other resources.
They have other resources. Yeah. Yeah. That takes away from the people that are truly in need.
They don't have other resources.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the future of the Cove House. You mentioned...
Let me add one thing about the clinic before we switch off.
Yeah, please.
We have a program that we use through a company called Direct Relief.
Okay.
Where we get a lot of prescription medications that we're able to then provide to our patients completely free of charge.
Wow.
If you know anything about medications, you know prescriptions are expensive. And we were able to distribute almost $200,000 of prescription medications to those in need last year. And that includes everything from cholesterol meds to heart meds, blood pressure meds, insulin in many cases. So that's a great, great resource that we have through Direct Relief to be able to provide prescription meds free of charge.
That's awesome.
So
that's
I don't want to leave that out.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's really $200,000. That's
it's
incredible.
A staggering number.
Yeah, it is a very staggering number. But when you start thinking about what I mean, I think about what my wife pays in the copay, you know, for her medicines. I just can't imagine what it'd be like.
Right, a prescription heart medicine might be $500 to $700 a month.
Whew. Wow, it's incredible, Okay, so let's talk about this planned growth that.
So we do have a great need, like I told you earlier on, because we help people longer. Mm-hmm. We just don't have the room to help more people.
Yeah.
So we have two plans. One is actually well on its way to fruition, and it's an extension of our program that will actually be in Killeen. And then we have an expansion plan for here. So the two houses that face Halsted Street are our family houses currently. The plan there when we raise the money is to remove those two houses and build a sixplex.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be a 3-over-3 sixplex that ultimately will be all family housing, but it will have to serve as shelter housing for our men and women while we redo the two houses on Main Street.
I see.
The plan there is to take those two houses down and build a new two-story structure that will house a new office suite, a dining facility, and a laundromat. And then upstairs we'll have a men's dorm and a women's dorm. So now we currently can house 6 men and 6 women in a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house. So when everybody's trying to get ready for work or ready for bed, it's a process. Mm-hmm. When we build the dorm, we'll be able to house 10 to possibly 12 men and women, and they will have a dorm-style bathroom. They'll have 3 showers, 3 toilets, and 3 sinks. Mm-hmm. So that's the plan for here on site. The plan for Killeen actually is going to be a transitional housing program as phase one. We're going to build 30 units over there. That will be 240 to 300 square feet efficiency houses. Mm-hmm. So they'll come into a shelter house. We'll have 2 buildings there that are basically our shelter houses for vetting people for the transitional housing program. Once they've got an employment and they can afford to pay the participation fee, then they'll be allowed to move into a private dwelling.
I see.
They'll be able to stay there, provided they're following the rules and maintaining their employment and savings, for up to 2 years. The plan there is for them to spend that time working with Habitat for Humanity to do all their paperwork, processing, sweat equity, and hopefully at the end of 2 years, be able to be a homeowner. Mm-hmm. So we call it the Homeless to House program because all of them will not end up homeowners. Some of them will move into another rental situation.
Yeah.
But the plan is to give them a long-term opportunity to be able to get back on their feet. Mm-hmm. Because the problem, especially with rental in our market here, has just gotten very difficult for even people with jobs to afford to do it.
Yeah.
So the 3 things that they have to overcome, one is their income.
Yep.
So most places require you to have 3 times the rental amount for their income requirements. So if you make minimum wage, let's say you make $12 an hour, and you're working 40 hours a week, then your take home, or what you're making, is about $1,600 a month. Mm-hmm. Well, by most people's standards, you have to find some place you can rent for $500.
Not a lot of places like that.
Almost none now that are safe to live in.
Yeah.
Because we've had an anomaly happen with the housing market around here where there was not enough new construction homes for people to move into. Mm-hmm. So people who have been landlords literally for 20 years were selling the houses to become owner-occupied houses because the housing market went so far through the roof, they were just cashing out.
Yep.
That's all that was happening.
Yeah.
Well, then the rental inventory shrunk, so the rental prices went up. So a house that you could rent 2 years ago for $850 is a $1,500 a month house now. I mean, it's almost doubled.
Wow.
So even people who are working hard and making a little bit of income can't find a place they can afford to live. So this is going to give them an opportunity to pay this participation fee, which likely will be $350 to $400 a month, and still have enough expendable income to start saving and have 2 years to get promotions, to find a better job, to, you know, get raises so that they can afford the next place they're going to live.
Yeah.
If they go through the Habitat program, they can probably get into home ownership for $600 to $700 a month, much less than they can even
rent
for.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the plan. That's the long-term goal for that. The city of Killeen, I'm meeting with them in December for the land donation, and then the funding should be secure in January or February, and we hope to have that operational and running by next summer.
Wow. And where is that going to be?
That'll be on Atkinson Street in Killeen, which is right where the school bus barn and their admin offices are. If you know where Habitat for Humanity is currently, it'll be right next door to that property.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of.
So we're very excited about that because it's just going to be, it's going to be what a lot of people that we have here now could use.
Sure.
They have jobs. They have income. We could move them into that program and then free up the shelter housing.
And how many buildings are you looking at over
phase
there?
One, I think it'd be 30 units.
Wow. Wow. That's in that area over there where the that dog park off of W.S. Young. And that,
so you're going over the bridge to W.S. Young. The dog park's on your left. As you come off that bridge, that's where you turn right on Atkinson, and it's back in there.
Okay. Okay. Good, good, good.
It's between W.S. Young and Rancier.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's wonderful. So that's something to look forward to then next summer.
We're very excited about it, and I'll be putting out more information as time goes by.
Good. So speaking of putting out more information, how can people find out more about either the clinic or the Cove House itself? Or
okay, we have a website, simply covehouse.org. We're working on updating that. We've had some issues with our webmaster. We're getting those sorted out. But our basic information is there right now. The best way to get the most up-to-date information is just follow our Facebook page.
Okay.
Just go on Facebook and search for Cove House in Copper's Cove, Texas. That's where it's easiest for me to update stuff.
Sure.
Because I don't have to go through our webmaster to do that.
Yeah.
I can upload that personally. We also have brochures available here in the office. Anybody can come by. Mm-hmm. Or they can email us and request one, and we'll be happy to email it out to them.
Yeah. So covehouse.org or through Facebook, Cove House at Copper's Cove, Texas.
Yeah, you'll just have to search that because the Facebook ID is actually, you know.
It's like 15 characters
long
or something like that.
It's much longer than that, actually. Yeah. And there's dots and dashes and slashes. If I said it, nobody would ever remember it. So you can just search Cove House and you'll find us.
All else fails, you can always stop by 108 East Halstead Avenue here in Copper's Cove. Get more information.
Yep, right on the corner of Halstead and Main.
Yeah. Mr. Brian Hawkins, thank you very much for your time this morning.
It's been my pleasure. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
And I encourage anybody that might want to donate to our program, you can go to that same website and just hit the donate button.
Great. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Excellent. Thank you.